Well, we're in Isaiah chapter 2, and we've been contrasting the pride of man with the humility of the Lord, and looking at verses 11 through 17. And there is something just so refreshing and wonderful about humility. It's attractive, and I think it's that way because it's the nature of Jesus. And when we have his nature at work within us, there's that beauty, that attraction. And of course, I think the Lord uses that for us to evangelize and to point people to him. And again, remember, true humility. You know, some people may just simply be more quiet, reserved, that sort of thing. And we can translate that as humility, but not necessarily. You know, someone, on the other hand, can be they can be rather extroverted and outgoing and very expressive, and yet that person can be the person who could be the one who's truly humble. And humility is, we get it from Christ. It's from his nature. Remember, he tells us in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, he says, come to me, you know, all you that are labored and heavy burdened, and I'll give you rest. And then he says, learn of me and take my yoke upon you. So as we learn of him, as we basically navigate through the Christian life, that he does a work in our life. Sometimes he takes us through humbling circumstances. But as we come out on the other side, even though perhaps we don't like being humbled, we find that we're going to like what he has done within our hearts, within our lives. And we're looking at 1 Peter chapter 5, taking a little diversion here from Isaiah. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 9, when Peter gives an exhortation to the church, and he says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So again, realizing that the Lord, he resists, proudful people. And God can't use proudful people. As a matter of fact, the devil uses proud people, uses them very effectively. But in order for the Lord to use us, that there needs to be that grace of humility at work within our lives. And so he goes on to say this, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So if we allow him to work in us, and again, we humble ourselves, I think that's a challenge to us, because I think by nature, we may not think we're proud, but we are. And so as we humble ourselves, it opens the door for opportunities for him to use us. And that he says here in verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So all of our anxiety, turn it over to the Lord. So be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, he walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And so resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. And so we see here as we look at these verses, picking it up in verse 12, for the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everything proud and lofty, everything lifted up, verse 13, upon all the cedars of Lebanon and that are high and lifted up, verse 14, the high mountains and the hills that are lifted up, every high tower and fortified wall upon the ships of Tarshish and upon all the beautiful sloops. Again, these are all the things that are done by man to glorify himself. They're all going to be brought down to the dust. The loftiness of man shall be bowed down. The haughtiness of men shall be brought low. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day. A second time he has mentioned that. And, the beautiful thing about you and I, here and now, we can exalt him now. We're told to exalt the Lord our God and to worship at his footstool. And so that's something that we can incorporate in our lives now, exalting him. I don't think you can do anything better than very simply obeying the Lord, because when we obey him, that's what we do. We're exalting him. We're recognizing his headship over us, his lordship. And so let's wrap up chapter 2 in our study here. And as we look at verses 19 through 22, what we see here is a judgment scenario. And you know, when God judges, where can man go? And that's why it's so important, because there's even going to be an opportunity for those that are in that terrible day of the Lord to receive Christ, to open their life. And again, when we put our lives in His hands, He's the safe place. He's the refuge. And we can do that now. And we need to consider that if you haven't maybe made that decision to commit your life to Him. Things can spiral out of control very, very quickly, very rapidly. And so I encourage you to commit your life. Turn your life over to Him. Turn over those controls. We might think we're in control, but that seems to be the more that we exert any level of control, the worse things can get. Verse 19, they shall go into the holes of the rocks, into the caves of the earth, from the terror of the Lord and the glory of His majesty. When He arises to shake the earth mightily. So this awful time is going to culminate in the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in that day, a man will cast away his idols of silver and idols of gold, which they have made, each one for himself to worship, to the moles and the bats. And, you know, when it comes, push comes to shove, when it comes down to it, you know, the silver, the gold, the riches, they're not going to really be able to help anyone. As a matter of fact, James, he says over in his epistle, I think he speaks to this very thing, to the last days, and the things, again, that people will find their safety and their security in. He says, come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches, they are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you, and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure for the last days. And we see that people doing that today, you know, thinking that perhaps, you know, the more resources, the more gold that people can buy and own, they think somehow they're going to be safe. But you know what? When it comes down to it, you cannot eat gold. You cannot eat silver. And they will need the Lord's protection. He says, indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you have kept back by fraud, they cry out. The cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in the day of slaughter. So James reminding us there of this future day. And again, the Lord speaks these things to us. They're warnings. You know, when we respond to the Word of God, we can be prepared for that time to come, that difficult challenge, whatever it may be. I have found the Lord's Word so relevant, so timely. I have found it in a personal kind of way, you know, relative to things that I was going to go through. I have found it prophetic. And so when you turn to the Scripture, you're turning to the Lord, you're asking for His wisdom and for His help, and He will grant it, He will give it. Now here's the last verse here. And it's just simply a reminder that so often we depend on people, you know, we depend on the, you know, the guidance, the inspiration of authorities and people and the government and all that. But there's nothing that can really supersede or be more effective in our lives or be more true to us than the Lord and His guidance, His direction. He says this in 22, sever yourselves from such a man, whose breath is in his nostrils. For of what account is he? Spiritual inspiration of man goes no further than his nose. Some people try to, you know, forecast what the future is going to be, you know, financially and that sort of thing. But man does not know. Only the Lord knows. And what's interesting here, as we look at this particular verse, I think there's a double application. I think the primary prophetic application here is to the Jewish people that were living in that day. And it's basically a warning to cease and desist from the Antichrist. When you look into the original manuscripts, into the Masoretic text or the Hebrew, it says, cease yourselves from the man. And this would be a direct word to the Jewish people, because remember, they're going to think the Antichrist is their Messiah. And so he's saying, hey, cease and sever yourselves from such a man. But I think also, too, for us, presently, you know, in a practical kind of way, is that we need to sever ourselves from the cultural, ungodly cultural influences of our day. Because one thing we will find that there's always, the world is always encroaching. It's always wanting to influence us, always wanting to control us, the spirit of the age. And it does, unfortunately, so many people. I think it's sad when we allow that as Christians. When you move away from your close relationship with the Lord and the Holy Spirit, when you get out of the Bible, when you stay away from fellowship. And, you know, what's amazing, too, you know, one of the things that I think we're reminded of in this time of alienation, imposed alienation and quarantine, is that we're missing a great ingredient in our relationship with the Lord, and that is our relationship with one another and how we need that. You know, when we come together, there's so many dynamics that take place, and it's not because we're here, but it's because the Holy Spirit's here with us. And so I hope that I encourage you to pray that this quarantine could be lifted. We know that our governor has imposed a few weeks longer in our quarantine than many of the other governors because of what's going on in New York City. And certainly we need to be praying for the first responders, for the doctors and nurses, and praying for the governor that the Lord would soften his heart. The Bible reminds us to do that, to be praying for those that are in positions of authority. So I encourage you also, too, if you need Christ in your life, that you would pray, and open your life to him. You know, when you look at the scripture, it says the word of faith is near you, you know, in your heart and in your mind. A relationship with Jesus Christ is only one step away. And as you simply confess your need of him, confess your sins to him, and ask him to come into your life, that he will indeed do that. And so may the Lord bless you, and let's have a word of prayer. And so, Father, we thank you that, Lord, as we look at the nature of things today, that we have been called, Lord, in a special way, Lord, to represent you in such a time as this. And help us, I pray, to live up to that. Lord, that's not only an opportunity, Lord, it's a privilege. So help us, we pray, in these days and at this time, help us, Lord, to glorify and honor our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we do pray for our president, Lord, our government, our state government, our municipality, Lord. We just pray for all those that are involved in the helping of the sick. Lord, may you be working your miracles in all this. And we know that you can and that you do. We thank you for it, Lord. So, Father, we ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. So the Lord bless you all, and we'll see you next week.